Good morning. When the preaching plan was issued for this current series, I was quite excited by the fact that today was designated Free Sunday. I wasn't excited by the fact that it might be like a free period at school where you sat around chatting rather than studying, or if you were really cool where you bumped off into town with your mates. No, it wasn't the idea of a church-free Sunday that was exciting, but the fact that I had a free choice of topic. So why Psalm 23? Well, first of all, it seems appropriate given the prayers that we've already offered for members of our church family and, of course, for the Ukraine situation. Secondly, it's an exquisite piece of writing. And whilst familiar to most Christians, it's not a passage that is preached on as much as it once was. And that's a shame because it is such a wonderful piece of scripture. It's poetic, symbolic, uplifting, comforting, enabling, the adjectives can run on. But I also wanted to speak on the psalm because of a lady named Mercy James, whose moving story I read a few years ago. Mercy was a Christian living in Nigeria. In 2014, Boko Haram militants violently took over the town where she lived. Mercy, along with other young Christian women and girls, was taken captive. Mercy's mother had died a few years earlier, and following the attack on the town, she never saw her father again either. The young women and girls who were taken captive were forced to renounce their Christianity, to undergo Islamic teaching and to marry Boko Haram members. They witnessed dreadful cruelty against Christian men and women who refused to deny their faith. Mercy said, "I prayed like never before and asked God to give me courage. I kept pleading with God to intervene." God answered her prayers when the Nigerian government launched a successful rescue mission. Mercy was badly hurt during the rescue and, despite help from her rescuers, was left destitute, injured and traumatized by what she'd been through. But just listen to Mercy's own words. "I thank God for giving me a second chance. Many lost their lives after being forced into Islam, but I am alive today. I have seen God's mercy at work in my life. I may have no one left to care for me, but I have a bigger God who is able to change my situation. I am sure he will take care of me. God spared my life for a purpose." Soon after her rescue, the charity Open Doors stepped in to help her. They paid for surgery and counselling and helped Mercy set up her own business so that she could support herself financially. When I read an update about Mercy a couple of years ago, she was in her mid-20s and doing well. Her health was improving, she had a new family around her, and she was earning enough money to provide for her needs. And praise God for that. So where does Psalm 23 fit in? In the documented interviews with Mercy, she spoke at length about how the psalm had given her comfort, strength and hope. It probably helped keep her alive. But whilst I've used Mercy's story to illustrate the power of Psalm 23, I'm sure that we all pray that Christians in similar situations, and particularly those affected by what is happening in Ukraine, can derive similar comfort, strength and hope from its words. But for now, let's turn it on ourselves. What does the psalm offer to us? Often preachers use Bible passages to challenge us as to what we should or shouldn't do. But to me, Psalm 23 is not about do's and don'ts. It's more about what is. In simple terms, it's a powerful reminder of God's love and goodness, a source of encouragement and comfort. Who doesn't need that right now? As one writer put it, the Shepherd's Psalm is a prescription for the problems and pressures of our day. Now, having read the psalm, you appreciate that there are two, shall we say, characters. There is, of course, God, referred to as he or you. And David is the writer, referred to as me or I. So to personalize it, to recognize the comfort and encouragement we can derive from the words, we simply become me or I. The psalm then becomes about our own personal relationship with God. One of the risks of reading familiar texts is that we read the words too quickly and we use inappropriate emphasis and punctuation, which can completely change the meaning. For example, the warning sign, a sign at the roadside, slow children crossing, which could easily be read as slow children crossing. It's all about the emphasis and punctuation. Or the sign I saw on a horse box recently, slow racehorses. With that in mind, let's focus on the familiar first five words of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Five words that represent a great affirmation in our faith. And yet, how often do we say those words quickly as, the Lord's my shepherd? We don't even say, is. Even the old hymn drops the is. But is important. It's a statement of fact, a statement of belief. The Lord is fact. So we should read it and say it like we believe it, like we mean it. And we should also perhaps emphasize the word my. It's personal. It matters. So these opening words should really be said. The Lord is my shepherd. Now the psalm is of course full of symbolism relating to shepherding. Shepherds who watch, guide and protect their flock. And so when we say, the Lord is my shepherd, we're stating our belief in a God who watches over me, a God who guides me, a God who protects me. In saying these words, we are affirming that we have an amazing, faithful God who loves and cares for us. A prescription indeed for the problems and pressures of today. How encouraging and comforting to have these words to hold on to. Not only in difficult times as they were for Mercy, but also in the good times. And yet, even in these few words lies a challenge. How committed are we to following God, our shepherd? Or are we prone sometimes to be like stupid sheep who blindly follow other sheep? Do we sometimes get caught up in doing what everyone else is doing, or wanting what everyone else is wanting, rather than following God's guidance? So that's the first five words. What follows in the rest of the psalm reminds us of everything that God does for us. However, these promises are conditional upon the premise that the Lord is our shepherd. So verse 1 continues, I lack nothing. Our affirmation of faith leads to this assertion. God will provide for our every need. It doesn't, of course, mean that he will provide for everything that we want, but for everything that we need. But even as believers, it can sometimes be hard to fully trust God to provide all that we actually need rather than what we think we need. A salutary quote I read recently was, how sad it is to believe in God, but not to trust in him. This challenge of want versus need raises the issue of happiness versus contentment. Many people constantly want more in the belief that when they get it, they'll be happy. More money, new job, new house, new things and so on. In contrast, contentment is a state of fulfillment because you have everything you need. In Philippians 4 verses 11 to 13, Paul wrote, I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. We need to trust in God to provide. Simply, if God hasn't given it to us, it's because we don't need it. And so to verse 2, he makes me lie down in green pastures. We've talked about busyness a few times recently, the fact that we're too busy with life and that we don't have the sense sometimes to rest and recuperate. Now, sheep are arguably not very smart. Sometimes, apparently, they have to be forced to rest. On that basis, perhaps, we're not that smart either. We need to rest to recuperate. We need quiet time to get clarity and perspective about what is happening in our lives and to be with God. Strangely, many people claim to not have the time to rest and recharge. Many people claim to be too busy to spend time with God in prayer. And for those folk, a quote to reflect upon. One of the great uses of Twitter and Facebook will be to prove that prayerlessness was not from lack of time. And verse 2 continues, he leads me beside quiet waters. These symbolic, quiet, life-giving waters are where God leads us, where we can be safe, where we can be refreshed and re-energized. So verse 2 in its whole reminds us to listen to God when he tells us to stop, rest, and be with him, and to trust that he will lead us to where we need to be, to the rich green pastures where we will be fed and nourished by God, to the life-giving waters where we will be refreshed. Verse 3 contains yet more examples of what God does for us. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. When we grow tired and worn down with the troubles of life, God restores and refreshes us. We offer our prayers to him and lay our troubles at his feet. Turning to God unburdens us. I always think it's amazing and humbling to hear testimonies of people who've been in really difficult situations, who turned to God and their lives were transformed. God does great things when people place their trust in him. In life, there are many paths that we can follow. The choices that we make will impact our lives and the lives of others. However, it is God as our shepherd who will lead us along the right paths, the paths of righteous behavior. In our own way, living a life of righteous behavior will help make the world a better place. We read and hear headlines every day about dreadful things happening here and around the world. Just imagine what those headlines would be if every single person followed a path of righteousness. Verse 4, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Picture a dark valley. It's overbearing, frightening, dangerous even. It's difficult to see a way out, and even if you could see a way out, it may be hard to climb out. The dark valley represents the challenges, troubles, and even evils that we face. Of course, God doesn't promise us an easy life, but in these words, we're reminded that God is with us every minute of every day, whatever we're facing. As is often said, in the darkest of times, God often does his best work. The words, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, must have been a really important source of comfort to Mercy, given what she had to face. And I'm sure that we all pray that everyone in similar desperate situations can find some comfort in these words, that God is always with them, right by their side. This verse also includes the symbolism of a rod and a staff as being sources of comfort. A shepherd's rod, a stick essentially, was used to help the shepherd protect his flock against predators, to defend the sheep in case of attack. It was also used to guide the sheep, to keep them on the right path. It would be used to give a little nudge, a tap, to a sheep that was wandering offline and needed to get back on track. And so it is with us when we need a tap, a nudge from God to get us back into line. The rod is a symbol of God's protection, but also a reminder to respond to God's prompting to stay on the right path. And the staff, or shepherd's crook, designed so that the shepherd could help a sheep back on its feet or pull it back from danger in a gentle, loving way. And again, so it is with us, God pulling us back from danger, getting us back on our feet when we fall. Now, what a powerful verse this is. Promises of God's unfailing presence, his protection and guidance. In verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. God has prepared a place in heaven for us, for each one of us, where we will be welcomed as special guests. We are anointed, we are blessed by the Holy Spirit. Simple yet powerful words of encouragement, words of comfort. And finally, verse 6. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The word surely is sometimes used to begin a question, but here it is used as a statement of certainty. The first 5 words of this psalm were a statement of certainty. The Lord is my shepherd. The psalm ends in the same way with strong affirmations. God's goodness, mercy and love will be with us forever. Imagine mercy sitting or lying somewhere, frightened, not knowing what was going to happen to her, but being able to gain comfort and strength from the certainty that God's goodness, mercy and love was with her and would always be with her. And in the final sentence, the promise that we will have eternal life with him in heaven. So as we reflect on Mercy's story, although we can't truly understand the trauma that she must have gone through, we can maybe understand something of the comfort and strength that this psalm must have given her, with a strong faith and trust in God. The knowledge that even in the darkest times, faced by evil, God was with her. And the continual knowledge that she was surrounded by God's goodness, love and mercy. And what about us? My prayer is that by turning to these words, by placing our trust in God, we will find the help that we need when faced with difficult times. This short psalm, packed with powerful promises, is also a reminder that by placing our trust in God, who is our shepherd, we will know the comfort that lies in knowing that God will provide for our every need. That by listening to God and spending time with him, we can be refreshed, nourished and restored. That he will lead us along the right paths to do the right thing, provided we are open to be guided by him. That he will protect us and comfort us, even in the darkest times. And that we will be blessed by the Holy Spirit, and that we will have eternal life in heaven. What a benefits package that is. And all we have to do to receive those benefits is to place our faith and trust in God. So let us pray that throughout this troubled world, more and more people will place their trust in God and find the guidance, comfort and strength they need from this wonderful song. Amen.